This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. All kinds of wonderful things this hour, from re-gifting to serious things. We're talking about Somalis, sauce people, all that and so much more coming up in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. I wanted to touch on something quick first because I brought it up yesterday. Just for a little background, Animal Farm was a book written by George Orwell. Orwell was not some hardcore righty freedom fighter, by the way, but Orwell also understood how truly evil and sick Soviet communism was, and he wrote Animal Farm to condemn Soviet communism. And this is all written down, well documented. There's a new Animal Farm movie coming out by Angel Studios. We'll get to that in a moment. There's a new Animal Farm movie coming out, and they're already printing articles about how they essentially flipped the story on its head. Again, completely subversive. Now, this one's an indictment of capitalism, right? So they took something that was supposed to make communism look bad and, of course, twisted it. Now it's supposed to indict capitalism. And I got this email. Bronco Jesse, I just heard you say that the new animated version of Animal Farm subverts the original book and makes capitalism to be evil. This blew my mind because I was looking forward to seeing it because it's from Angel Studios. Everything I've seen from them has been good, and I've considered them to be trustworthy. Does this mean Angel Studios has been infiltrated by communists, as his name is Dave? All right, so I don't know if Angel Studios has been infiltrated by communists yet. So let's pause for a moment. That doesn't take away the fact that Angel Studios has made good, wholesome, family-worthy movies, right? That's one. Here's what has happened in Hollywood in recent years. Let's just talk briefly about the business model, because I know you've seen this. Hollywood was... it's been left since the 60s, right? It's been left. But in recent years, they've gone all in on the communism. And this is, honestly, in large part to all the DEI efforts. If you're a normal, sane, certainly white male, you are unhirable. So they go hire as many race communists and women as they possibly can. And everything they put out is wretched slop with stupid female superheroes doing flip kits, a tranny person in every TV show. It's horrible. It's been horrible. Okay, you got all that. Hollywood has a problem. Normal people caught on to it, and they don't want to go. They started gaying up every single thing. I told you about that movie. I think it was Super Pets or DC Pets I went to. Like 5 minutes into the movie, there's two lesbians in the park. This is a communist kids movie. They can't help themselves. Everything has to be communist propaganda. Coinciding with that, as people stopped going to the movies, we saw the rise of what would be considered more traditional, maybe even right-wing, depending on how you wanted to put it, movies and movie studios. We'll make this about kind of Christian movies. I would say 10 years ago, Hollywood would still put out a Christian movie or two. And if you're being honest with yourself, they were freaking garbage. Horrible movies. Why? There was no budget. There was no budget for the movie, so you can't hire great writers. You can't hire great directors. You can't hire great actors. You go grab this guy, that guy, and that guy and cobble together some motley crew and put out a movie, admittedly with usually a pretty wonderful message, but the movie was garbage. Garbage. I know this because I was at those movies. We took the boys to those movies. Crap. Total crap. And we noticed something over the last 10 years. They're getting better. And better. And better. And better. What's happening? Now you got Dennis Quaid in these things and stuff like that. What is happening? Well, something wonderful and can be terrible. People, even though the movies were not top quality, they want to go to the movies with their kids, with their friends, with a girlfriend, with somebody, right? People like to go to the movies. Certainly Americans like to go to the movies. If every other movie in the theater is going to be a gayed up bunch of commie slop nonsense, I just won't go. If you sprinkle out some movie with a good message, I'll take the family, I'll bite the bullet, I'll go. These movies started making money. They didn't cost a lot to make, and they started making nice amounts of money. What's the result? More money starts coming in. More now, let's say I'm a Christian director, and I get a movie script about some wonderful story, about a redemption story. Someone finds Jesus. You know how it always goes. Well, I have to go get somebody to pay me to produce it. I have to go find people to produce it. My pool of people is very, very small if I'm just trying to push out a good message. If I'm trying to make money, my pool gets significantly larger. I go sit in front of a producer. Let's call him Jewish producer Chris. He's got a bunch of money. Doesn't really agree with my movie or whatever, but he doesn't give a crap. It's about money. So I go sit down in front of Chris and say, hey, Chris, got this script. Great script. I have Dennis Quaid lined up. I have this. I have that. Look at what my last four movies, look at what they made. Chris, can I have $30, $40, $50 million to make a movie? Chris looks at the bottom line and says, yeah, sure. I'm going to make all my money back. Go ahead. But with that comes a danger. And there's a lesson in this for all of us, myself included, very much so. Maybe that $50 million from Chris comes with a couple strings. Maybe they're even suggestions. Maybe they're flat out demands. Sure, sure. Here's your $50 million. Go hire Dennis Quaid. But I have a daughter. Well, actually, she's my son now. She went and already had the surgery. Her name's Trina. She loves to write movies. She fancies herself as a movie writer. I would like her to have final approval on the script for your new Christian movie. Anyway, you want my $50 million? Trina comes with it. Now you have a decision to make if you're that director. You can make a $50 million budget movie with Dennis Quaid and movie stars, or you can go back to the days of scrapping and scraping and try to make a low-budget pile of crap. I'm not at all saying that happened with Angel Studios. I don't know the behind-the-scenes stuff on this. But that oftentimes is how not just movie studios, people, businesses, they get corrupted by that. And it's easy to understand the why and the how. It's human nature. I told you this story before. I think I told it once. This was not long ago. People you see on social media, people with big platforms, maybe even big podcasts and stuff like that, they are oftentimes paid to have a specific opinion. It's not that they think it or believe it. They're paid to have that opinion by interests of various kinds, domestic and foreign interests. And because I have this national show, and I guess a big platform, I had somebody who I know reach out to me. I read you the message. I'm not going to dig it up right now. It said, hey, I represent a bunch of firms. He did not say who they were. They're interested in partnering with you on essentially campaigns going forward. So I would come on, maybe it'd be on social media. Maybe it would be on here. And I might say something to the effect of, you know what's a really underrated place? Qatar. Man, I'm a huge Qatar fan. That country is pretty friggin' cool. Now, you've never heard me say a word about Qatar. I don't give a crap about Qatar. I know they fund a lot of terrorism, kind of a dirtball country. But if I said that, you would have no idea because I wouldn't put a disclaimer on it. Yeah, Qatar just wrote me a $50,000 check to say that on the air. I didn't even respond to the guy. I didn't decline. I didn't say yes. I didn't even respond. My opinions are not for sale. I have stupid opinions for free. But it tells you how easily that can happen, right? And what if it was, I never asked the price, by the way. What if it was $1 million? I don't know what they were offering. What if it was $1 million? Hey, Jesse, $1 million? And all we need you to say is, you love Brussels sprouts. Now, everybody knows I hate vegetables and I hate Brussels sprouts, but $1 million? $1 million is a lot of cheddar cheese, right? $1 million, first class, eating steaks, fancy hotels. You see how it can happen. Money. Money corrupts, man. What is that verse? Love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Now, what if they were offering it in gold? Now, that would be tempting, especially because gold just hit another high yesterday, of course. Gold keeps hitting highs. It keeps hitting highs because nation states keep buying up gold and silver. And nation states keep buying up gold and silver, in fact, depleting their own currency reserves because they believe that is the wave of the future. Now, if they believe that, if China is buying every ounce of gold they can get their Chinese hands on, what do you think you should be doing with your retirement? You think maybe it would be a good idea to get some gold or silver in there? GoldCo will do it for you. You might qualify for unlimited bonus silver. Again, this is not a scam. It's very straightforward. This company has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. I have trusted them with my money. Go to jessielikesgold.com. Find out what GoldCo can do for you, all right? jessielikesgold.com or call 855-817-GOLD. 855-817-GOLD. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Oracle, what are your thoughts on regifting? Last year, my brother regifted my present to him, to our cousin, so I put his truck on jacks and emptied the air in his tires. Oh, all right, I'll tell you something right now. Ob and I, we have a regifting stash. It's not that I'm okay with regifting. I have in my home, I don't know where she keeps it, an entire box of stuff that can be regifted. I am a regifting master. Don't shake your head, Chris. I believe it is good and right. I don't want to be wasteful. What's more appropriate? For me to just set it on my shelf to collect dust or throw it away? It's not like I open it and play with it for a while and then hand it to somebody. Someone else may have a use for it. What, Chris? Chris said, are we talking like a birthday gift or a one-off gift? No, for all occasions. If it's a, what, Chris? If it's a birthday, Christmas, whenever there's an occasion where I need to give somebody a gift, it's not the last stop, it's the first stop, the re-gifting box. It's beautiful. Now, there is a danger, and you know exactly what the danger is. You probably already know what I'm going to say. If you forget who gave you the gift and you give back to them the gift they gave you, then you are exposed on a couple different levels. You're exposed that you hated the gift they gave you. You are exposed that you are a regifter. That's why you don't want to tell anybody you're a regifter. You want to make sure you keep that quiet. But the closest I came to running into that was this is after my dad died. One of my neighbors I'm friends with, he doesn't know that I don't really drink much anymore, but he brought me a six-pack of Guinness beer. Six-pack of Guinness beer, which is a cool thing to do, right? It's nice. It's a nice gesture. Now, I don't drink much anymore, and I don't drink Guinness. I hate Guinness. I've never been a Guinness guy. You're a Guinness guy, Chris? I don't like it. Anyway, brings me a six-pack of Guinness. I don't drink Guinness. So I threw it in the fridge and just kind of left the friggin' Guinness there. Ob throws a big party. She throws a big neighborhood party. This is, I think it was last year. Throws a big neighborhood party. And we wanted to set things out. So, you know, there's the big bowl of fruit punch and everything else. And then we had a cooler. It was a cooler just sitting on the ground. We put sodas and waters and beers in there. And we thought, well, we have a six-pack of Guinness. Maybe someone coming will want a Guinness. He walks in. He notices the Guinness. And he's like, oh, I'm glad to see. I wasn't sure you were a Guinness guy. I'm glad to see that's your thing. And I said, oh, you should have seen it, Chris. Lied, stone-faced lied right to his face. I was like, oh, yeah, big time, big time. I stocked up just because I knew you were a Guinness guy, too. Anyway, can I get you a beer? And I sat there and watched him take one of his Guinnesses out of the cooler. Hope it wasn't bad. Popped a top on it. Enjoyed himself. Hey, Jesse, a few days ago, my 24-year-old son, Donnie, came home for lunch with a McDonald's bag and a drink. After looking through the bag, he angrily threw it all in the trash without taking a single bite. When I asked whether his order was wrong, he said it wasn't. However, the extra sweet and sour sauce he paid for was missing. When I asked why he didn't just eat the meal without it, he launched into a tirade about how I didn't understand the disappointment of anticipating dipping his fries and nuggets in the sauce. According to him, eating the food without it completely negates the experience. About 30 minutes later, he came out of his room and said he had taken matters into his own hands. He purchased 100 McDonald's sweet and sour sauces on eBay for $60. He did apologize for his outburst, but he said he is tired of being dismissed and disrespected as a saucer. Did he overreact? I have in my fridge at home, I have items like Chick-fil-A Ranch. I have Whataburger Jalapeno Ranch. I have an entire bottle of, a bottle, they sell it by the bottle, of Popeye's Blackened Ranch. And do you know why I have these things? Because your son is 100% correct. The sauce, in many cases, makes the meal. Without the sauce, the meal is not worth eating. I have had to explain this before to restaurants who forgot my sauce, left my sauce out, and they wanted to, you know, give me a $2 refund. I said, I don't need a $2 refund. I need a refund for everything because your ignorance of my sauce, of my sauce needs, ruined the entire meal. It didn't ruin $2 of the meal. It ruined the entire thing. You can have the whole meal back. If anything, your son underreacted. We'll talk about pizza places, Somalis, and so much more. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday heading into the Christmas season. Before I get back to the emails, I got a situation. Here's the situation. Ob, she loves Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Everyone knows what Trans-Siberian Orchestra was, that big, or is, that big Christmas band, whatever. She loves it, has loved it since she was a child, loves their music, loves their stuff. Now, I like concerts a lot, okay? I like concerts. I don't attend many anymore. And I hate to sound like a grandpa. Let me explain myself. They're too loud. My ears and my voice are how I earn my living, and concerts destroy both of them. If I try to speak to people, I have to shout, and it trashes my vocal cords, and the music destroys your eardrums. I know that sounds lame, and it is lame and pathetic. I know, but concerts now, last concert we went to was a Billy Joel concert. It was in Houston, and they had the volume turned up so loud that I had to leave and go stand outside and leave everyone inside. It was destroying my ears. I couldn't do it. I can't do it. That's how I make my living. It's how I feed my family, right? So that said, I do like concerts, and years ago, I don't remember how many. I took Aub, I think it was my Christmas gift to her. I bought us both Trans-Siberian Orchestra tickets. Not necessarily my thing, but hey, let's go watch Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I think they were $50 a piece or something like that. It was years ago. We got a couple Trans-Siberian Orchestra tickets. It's so long. Chris, buddy, I think it was 3 hours long. I know. Yeah, it's long. And believe me, if you're into it, it was so well done. It's not like it was an amateur hour and there's a story behind it and a new theme and stuff like that. I am in no way trashing Trans-Siberian Orchestra. They put on a first-rate show. But I got a little bored after 3 hours. I was zoning out. I was not really into it. And apparently my body language is easy to read for Aub at this point in time. She could tell I wasn't into it. And she is just completely captivated by the whole thing. Every minute, the whole time. It could be 12 hours and she would sit there just soaking up every bit of it. But she's getting bad vibes, to use a modern term. She's getting bad vibes from me. Okay? After that, she decided she needed a new Trans-Siberian Orchestra concert partner, and she found one in Luke, our youngest son. He's into a lot of that stuff that she's into. He enjoys it. It's been a tradition now for at least, I think, 5 years. They will get Trans-Siberian Orchestra tickets if they're anywhere nearby, drivable distance. She'll get tickets, just those two, and they'll go, which I think is really cool. A mother-son tradition that he will remember his whole life. She'll treasure those memories his whole life. It's all good, right? I don't know what happened, but this year, it was 10 minutes ago, I got a text message. Because they have, I think it's in 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 1 week, they have a concert. Again, Luke, Aub, Trans-Siberian Orchestra concert. I get a text message that says, hey, I would love for you and James to join us this year. It's not just that I don't want to go. It's not only that. James also doesn't want to go. And if you think my body language is not the best when I'm not into something, James's is 100 times worse than mine. You know when he's into it and when he's not into it, to the point when he was younger, he doesn't do this anymore, but when he was younger, if we were, let's say we're out at dinner, maybe it's a big family dinner, Thanksgiving or something like that, and he's bored, eventually he gets bored, he'll just like lay his head on the table as if he's going to sleep. And I had to inform him that is bad body language. You don't do it. You know, so he doesn't do that. But that's the kind of kid he is. It is. Oh, gosh. So it's not just that I don't want to go. And James doesn't want to go. It's a terrible idea for us to go. It's not just 3 hours, Chris. She's going to lose us both. And the body language is going to get bad. And then she's going to be mad we came. She's making bad decisions right now, and I haven't responded yet. I'm actually telling you before I've talked to her about it. I need out of it. I need an excuse. And you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to call in sick. I'm going to call in sick. What, Chris? What? Chris said I need an excuse for two. No, buddy. No, listen. James is just going to have to go. Look, I can't save everybody. In a triage situation, the point of triage is you only save who you can save. And those you can't save, you've got to let them go. There's nothing I can do for James right now. He's on his own, but he's going to have to go enjoy the concert. Me, feeling a little feverish. What, Chris? Corey said, what if James has beaten me to the punch? I'll beat him to death. No, I'm glad you brought this up. I have to get in being sick before James gets in being sick, but I can't get in too early. Like I said, I don't remember when they're going. It might be 2 weeks. It might be a week. I can't get in too early. Otherwise, I'll have to fake being sick for too many days, and Ob will eventually catch on when I'm sitting there eating a pizza or something like that. That won't work at all. So I think I'm going to fake sick. I think I'm going to fake. Chris, there's no other way out of it. I've thought about it. There's no other way. It's going to have to be a stomach ache or feverish, or it's going to have to be something. I don't want to go to another 3-hour concert. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it. Jesse, the next big election is obviously the midterms. And while that is everyone's focus, I think it's fun to look ahead. Traditionally, VP would be the front runner for 2028, but let's think outside the box. Who would be your out-of-nowhere or under-the-radar primary winner for each party? You think it's someone already out there, so on and so forth. Okay, love the show. Merry Christmas to you all, your family. His name is Eric, and he said Happy Hanukkah to Chris. I'll tell you, I'll set aside the Republican side, because I think it's honestly it's so obvious that J.D. Vance is going to run, which means Marco Rubio isn't going to run. It would be interesting to see if Ron DeSantis could make more noise this time than last time. Last time, he was so overshadowed by Trump, but there's not been a better governor for 8 years. I mean, Ron DeSantis just killed it down there. I don't know whether that would matter in a primary. I don't know. I can't see that. I haven't seen the poll numbers. On the Democrat side, I brought this up a while ago, so I'll bring it up again. J.B. Pritzker, and I don't like him, okay? So don't start throwing things at me if you're from Illinois. But J.B. Pritzker, he kind of looks like your uncle. Kind of fat, but probably not too fat. Fat enough that he's relatable, but not so fat where you're thinking, geez, buddy, have you ever gone for a walk? He is insanely wealthy, so he's going to be able to raise a ton of money. Everyone's kind of already handing the nomination to Gavin Newsom, while also allowing that AOC or some bonkers nutball may come up. But if J.B. Pritzker made a serious run at it, I wouldn't be surprised. He's the guy who got elected governor in Illinois, going to have a huge war chest. Don't sleep on J.B. Pritzker, although that would be very soft and comfortable. One more segment. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
People be sexting.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And I want to remind you,
in the name of a just, merciful God,
to remember the reason for the season. All right. Make sure you soak up every single waking moment with family and friends. There will come a time, not to get heavy on you, where your parents won't be there, at least one or both of them. So enjoy this one. I'll be missing my father this Christmas. And if yours is still here, your mom's still there, make sure you enjoy them. All right, soak up this time. It's not about the presents, of course. It's about Jesus and family and friends and just celebrating. Jesse, my wife and I order pizza all the time from a local pizza place. It's usually okay, but sometimes she thinks we got a reheated one instead of a freshly made one. What's the standard? Do pizza shops always make fresh pizzas when ordered either online or by phone? Okay, so I'm going to tell you something. And this is something like New Yorkers will know this well. But I realize some people haven't traveled as much as others. Pizza is just glorious for a variety of reasons. But one of the reasons pizza is so glorious is after cooking a pizza, after you bake a pizza in the oven, let's say it's gotten cold, maybe you've even put it in the fridge, you can actually throw that pizza right back in the oven and get it very similar to what it was originally. In the Kelly household, this is generally done by throwing it on a baking sheet, 400 degrees, 4 or 5 minutes, comes out of that oven pretty freaking good. Pizza companies have known this forever. This is honestly, a lot of people are going to roll their eyes because what I'm saying is so obvious. But when you walk into a pizza place and let's say they sell pizza by the slice and they have a bunch of pizzas already made, what do they do with it? Hey, I want a slice of pepperoni. They grab a slice of pepperoni And they turn around and they throw it in the pizza oven for a couple minutes. Then they pull it out. Pizza can be reheated. Pizza companies, occasionally, not all the time, they take advantage of this fact. And nowadays, here's something that may happen. For example, I'm a pizza company. Let's say I own a local pizza place. I am on a limited budget. I'm not a wealthy person. It's a local pizza place. I have to manage my overhead. I don't want to pay 5 employees for the 6 hours of prime time pizza ordering time in the evening. So I pay 5 employees for 2 hours. During that 2 hours, those 5 employees make as many pizzas as they possibly can. Make me 5 cheese pizzas and 5 pepperonis and 5 sausage pizzas. Then, after 2 hours, I let 3 of those employees go. I then run a skeleton crew for the rest of the night where the 2 employees I have left, I call, I order a large pepperoni, I turn, I grab one of the large pepperonis I made 3 hours ago. In the oven it goes, 4 or 5 minutes. I pull it out, then I deliver it to you. This is one of those things, in general, you don't want to trust a woman to back up a car, but you want to trust her intuition when it comes to things like restaurants and people. I have learned this over the years with Aub. Aub can smell bad people from across the room. She just knows long before I know. A woman's intuition is a powerful thing. God gave that to them because they're smaller with weak wrists. And so he gave them an extra thing that men don't have. Hey, girly hands, which is not nice. Will a lifetime supply of Relief Factor and chalk be available for all members of the Secret Club? Yes. I'm sure Relief Factor is going to sign on as a sponsor of some kind for our Secret Club, because when we're off doing secret things in our secret club, what we can't afford is to be in pain, you see. We cannot afford our wrists hurting, our back hurting. We have super secret society stuff to do. You have things you want to do too. Maybe you're not part of the secret club because you're short or a woman, but maybe your back hurts, maybe your foot hurts, maybe you have pain, and maybe you take things to mask it. Why don't you try a supplement, 100% drug-free supplement that is developed by doctors? Relief Factor. Over 1 million people already have. Why do you think Relief Factor has grown the way it's grown? Call 1-800-4-RELIEF and just try it. It's just 3 weeks. 3 weeks is $19.95. If you don't feel any better, don't order it again. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com.
And now,
here's a headline.
By go, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Hey, meat master debater Jesse, what unusual types of meat have you eaten or prepared? I've had rabbit, squirrel, rattlesnake, and alligator meat. I've actually had all of those kinds of meat. And this will only be unusual outside of the South. And I know you're going to think I'm bonkers if you're outside of the South. Do not ignore frog legs if you get the chance. I know it's, Chris, I know. I know it sounds insanely unappealing. You would think it's gross. On my life, I know this is very cliche. It's like chicken. It's very similar to chicken. And when done correctly, frog legs are outstanding. What, Chris? What? Chris said, how close is it to gator? Honestly, very, very similar, except because frogs are smaller, at least in my experience, you always eat them off the bone. Normally, you don't eat gator off the bone. It's been sliced up in steaks and chopped up and deep fried and things like that. Frog's legs, live a little, try some frog's legs. Hey, Jesse, did you see Elon Musk on Joe Rogan's show talking about our biggest weakness of Western society is empathy and that it's being used against us? He must be listening to the Oracle preaching about the communists using our values against us. Yes, I'm sure he's a huge fan like everyone else is. Scuba Jesse, you said you would worry if Dan Bongino left the Cheka FBI. Rumor has it he's leaving. No, it's not rumor by now. He is leaving. Does it get me unsettled? No, it doesn't unsettle me at all. Whether Dan is at the FBI or not at the FBI, I consider the FBI to be a soulless, evil criminal organization that should be defunded and disbanded immediately. My thoughts on it don't change whether he's there or not. It can't be saved. The secret state police agency should leave. Jesse. She said we are 7 million units short on housing. So how many crossed the border under Joe Biden? Pretty basic stuff. Yeah, they always say we're 7 million units short on housing. A lot of people say that. A lot of people believe that. Part of the problem with saying we're short on housing, and that may be true in some ways, part of the problem is, though, we only build huge homes now instead of tiny starter homes that normal people can afford. You know, your dad bought a house back in the 50s, and it was two bedrooms and one bath, and it was 1,200 square feet. You just don't see a lot of those anymore. Now, go celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with your family. Enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy your break. Get fat on eggnog and sweets, and I will see you again in 2026, and I will miss you, all right? That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.